Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back, Cracked fans, to another edition of the Cracked Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. It's going to be one of those weeks here on this show where we have a plethora of college tennis content coming your way. In fact, with the NCAA round of 16 looming this weekend, we figured it was time to bring back one of our favorite bits here on this podcast. It's time for us to roll out our 2024 NCAA press row. Over the course of the next 4 days, I will do my best to interview each of the remaining head coaches for our 32 men's and women's teams still alive in the Division I NCAA tennis tournament. I will try my best also to ask each coach the same series of questions. Things like, what were the highlights of your 2024 season? What were the biggest surprises throughout the course of the year? What is the advice you would give yourself if you could go back to January and do so? And then, of course, we get into things like trivia, non-team-specific storylines, and so much more. I promise all of you will enjoy this exercise, and I sincerely hope this will help prepare all of you for this weekend's upcoming NCAA action. Of course, those round of 16 matches are going to be available on our Crack Rackets YouTube channel. Our coverage starts Friday, so hopefully this will again prepare all of you for that action. Hopefully you listeners will be inspired by what you hear and come tune into our coverage of postseason play. With that said, it's time for our 2024 NCAA press row. Westhoff, let's get to it. The man that sees trying to the amazing Mr. Please himself. Joining us on the podcast now to help prepare all of us for Sweet 16 weekend at this 2024 NCAA tennis tournament is a returning champion to our Crack Racket shows. Of course, it feels like we always talk to him at this time of year as his team once again reaches the 16th round of 16. The number 2 overall seeds in the men's event this year. Let's welcome back onto our show Texas men's tennis head coach Bruce Burke. Coach, first of all, good morning to you. Welcome back to the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm good, but I didn't get my run in like you probably did you?
You know, I have not yet. I have a break in the press row interviews from like 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., so I was like, all right, that's my window to sneak one in. But yeah, I appreciate you getting up early. I said this before we started. You're number one in press row here this year, so you're the guinea pig. You get the trial run for all of these questions, and I guess with that in mind, we can get right into it. I want to start, of course, with NCAA weekend number one. Talk me through how you thought the guys performed in 4-0 victories over Sacramento State and UCLA.
Yeah, I was happy with it. We played pretty good tennis and we're really on it as a team in terms of our energy and readiness to play and spirit. And yeah, I was pretty happy with it. And we were tested for sure. UCLA's got a lot of good players on that team and they made us earn it. And Sacramento State, I thought, did a really good job too. And certainly played great at number one doubles and pushed us. And I was really happy with the way the guys came through.
Yeah, for your guys, not only to deal with the adversity that comes with any match, but obviously you guys had some weather issues in Austin this weekend. And a shout out to you and the team for getting the cameras set up indoors. That was something I know all of us in the college tennis universe appreciated as we got the chance to actually watch that UCLA match. But, you know, dealing with that adversity, how'd the guys handle that? And, you know, more broadly, what'd you think execution standpoint wise? You got to play, I think, 7 different guys in singles this weekend. Did you see everything you wanted to see?
Yeah, for sure. And I agree with you. Our staff did a good job. We had to kind of rig something together, but we were close to doing it the last time, but I threatened our administrator. I said, look, the Twitter world is going to get us pretty good if we can't stream this, the Texas versus UCLA match. So they got it together and I was happy we did it. I was happy with the way the guys executed. Of course, you're never completely satisfied, and I thought we left a little room for improvement for sure. But it was good that we got tested because that's where we could see, so we could see where we're still need a little touch up work heading into the Sweet 16 round. But yeah, definitely, I was happy with it. And as far as the delays and all that kind of stuff, there's really not much in college tennis that this group hasn't seen yet. So they've been, if we're going to be going through it, chances are pretty high they've been through it before, and they handled it well.
Yeah, you talk about that experience. I was with you at the Big 12 tournament, where obviously you guys were able to capture that Big 12 tournament title. First time you were able to do that in your 10-year, and I'm sure that's one of the highlights of the season. I want to ask you about that in a little bit. You mentioned, though, that experience. Has preparing for this postseason run been different than how the past 3 years have looked? Because obviously, for college tennis fans that don't know, you have made the semifinals in two of the last three seasons. Obviously, this year, you're the number two overall seed, and I know expectations come with that, but how has preparing for this year perhaps been different than years past?
Probably not much different, but hopefully each year, I'm a year wiser and learn from, where we might have fallen a little bit short last year. But especially the team is just one more year hungrier, because just about all of them have been here. Just about all of our lineup has been here, for 4 or 5 years, and just a little more experienced, and maybe can tweak a few things from last time. But overall, not much different. I think one of the strengths of our program has been just the consistency with which we do things and prepare and practice, and we've tried to keep that going. So no, I don't think there's been too many differences from the way we prepare.
Are you someone who tapers down the guys as you approach the start of this NCAA tournament run? Meaning, I mean, you had 2 weeks, right, between the start, end of Big 12s and the start of this tournament. That's a rare training block opportunity for you and the guys. What does that pace look like?
I mean, things never go exactly according to plan, but yeah, we did try to. Well, first of all, after the Big 12 tournament, I do like having that week break. Even though it's not a full week break, it usually comes during exam time and a crunch time for school. And usually at that time of year, the guys are pretty beat up, like all the teams. But we take a couple of days off, and then usually the guys are begging to get back out there. But we pretty much force a few days off, and then we try to go hard for the first for that the rest what remains in that first week of preparation. So usually that's like a Wednesday through Saturday. That's what we did. We tried to go pretty aggressively with the practice, and then take Sunday off, and then tried to go pretty aggressively again in the first part of the week. And then 2 days before, we lighten the load and see if we can get them ready. So that's pretty much the basic plan.
Yeah, for your team in particular, obviously over the last 3 years, you guys have always shown a national championship level. It feels like the question is always, how healthy are you come this run in May? How important has managing that health been for you all season? And dare I say, how do you think you've done?
I think we've done well. It's been a little easier this year than it might be in some other years because, like for instance, Pierre didn't play yesterday. He could have played, but in other years we might not have the luxury when somebody's able to play of, okay, put in someone else, because I really feel like we go eight deep, and truly I feel like we go nine deep in terms of our singles lineup, because I would throw Evan McDonald in there. But at some point we had to make the decision that we can only rotate so many guys in our rotation, and had to keep a little bit of an eye towards the future. And he's been a great teammate in understanding that. So if Pierre's a little banged up, he said, look, I can play if you need me. I was like, you know what? It's probably smarter that we don't. And also, I don't know that we're any worse if we take him out and Cleve or Jonah come in, or Lucas Brown, and if he's not quite at his best level. So that's made it a little easier to stay healthy, that we haven't had to push the envelope when people are a little banged up than it has been in the past. And we had that 1 year, I think it was 2022, where we were really banged up, and that was kind of a fluky, freaky thing. I've never seen that before. The other years, I would just venture to say that we've been normal. Of course, we've had guys out here and there, but so does everyone else, So I don't think we've had any worse luck than other teams, with the exception of that 1 year. But yeah, I do think having the depth that we have this year has made it a little easier to manage everybody's health.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's that Elliot was playing with one hand, and so
He
it just
was.
stood out, and it was like, hey, there's this going on with everything else that's
Yeah,
going on, yet
well,
he was still
Elliot was playing with
incredible.
one, for sure. Elliot was playing with one hand. Micah was out for a large chunk of
Yeah.
time. Cleve was out for a large chunk of time. I think Pierre was out too that year
Yeah.
with a big chunk of time. And a lot of times we were without all of them at the same time. So I remember telling people we were playing without 2.5 guys, you
Yeah, I know
know.
Wags was out with a tough head cold. I feel like you had a tough stretch there for a couple weeks as well. It was just, it was everywhere. And so, no, of course.
But yeah, we did a good job then, and it was harder then, but for sure having the deeper team makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah. And getting all those guys reps all season long, how important has that been for you? And, again, to see guys like Lucas have success when he steps in,
Yeah.
and you kind of mentioned it there, how valuable is it to have that sort of depth?
Yeah, that was something I really wanted to do this year. I mean, I watch him in practice, and I just said it the other day. He was playing Elliot in a practice match, and it was like Elliot had to save a set point, and that happened several times. He's beaten Timo in sets. I just watch him in practice, and then I look to Nick and Ryan. I said, "Tell me, explain to me how this guy's not in the lineup. This guy's not a lineup player." So I knew from the beginning of the year that we cannot go large stretches of time without having him play. So my goal for him is never to have him go 2 weeks without playing a match. That's what I've tried to do. Now, at this point in the year, we're going to simply do what's best for the team. But there's such a small margin between those guys. I'm either an idiot for not knowing, or those guys are so close because I still don't know exactly who our best six are, and I think it changes any day. But we're trying to be more consistent now with our lineup. But it was very important to me because I knew it would be really important to Lucas, for example, in his development, to not go a whole year, sitting on the bench. And so lately, he's played some doubles matches and done great. He's been real clutch. I mean, I think he's 9-1 in singles, and he's played great in doubles, and he's had to be in a couple of deciding doubles points. So the guy's won a ton of matches. He's in his junior career, he's got way more gold balls and balls than any of the players on our current team. So he's going to be a real star at Texas for the next 3 years after this. And I'm really glad that, he got a fairly consistent dose of playing in the lineup this
Yeah.
year.
Now, I want you to know you've revitalized the relationship between me and my younger brother because we can talk about what should Bruce do with his lineup every time we're on the phone. And so I've certainly appreciated that. This might be a strange question. And again, you're the guinea pig, and I'm getting off the tangents early. So we're setting the right sort of tone here. You played Elliot and Micah, I think, every match or just about every match. And I'm curious why not pull them and just let everyone move up a spot during the season? What was the thought behind, hey, we're going to keep these guys at 1 and 2 and kind of play around lower in the lineup?
Well, I think Micah missed a couple when he was sick 1 weekend on a road trip to BYU in Texas. Elliot hasn't missed any, huh?
I don't
He
think
may not
so.
have. Yeah, he may not have. I think the answer is two simple answers. One, they're the best players, and
Fair.
so if I feel like where we're really consistent in our level is towards the bottom of the lineup, but there's no getting around the fact that Elliot and Mike are two of the best players in the country. And, having those guys at the top of the lineup gives us a great jump start in dual matches most of the time. And the other one is kind of out of respect to them. Especially Elliot didn't have to come back, and he was on the bubble about whether he should, turn pro and get a jump start on his college career or come back for another year. And he made that choice. And if he wants to play, then he's going to play. And it's to a similar extent with Micah. I think those guys have been, arguably two of the better career players at Texas in the program's history, and they've done a lot for Texas. And I know they want to play, and so I feel like they deserve that opportunity.
Yeah, no. And in that spirit, I'm curious. We'll move on to question number two here on my list. By the way, again, I'm going to keep them 30 minutes or less. I've got 10 questions I'm going to try and ask every coach. My next question for you, Coach Burke, highlight of the season. And I've got some nominees for you to make it easier if you want to hear
Okay.
them. You want to
Sure.
hear my list?
Sure.
All right. You have Elliot winning All-Americans right off the bat. That's an easy one. Micah winning Fall Mats. And by the way, Micah winning 30 consecutive matches since then. We're 31 now after this past weekend. We'll get to that. That's obviously a nominee. And him being healthy, I think, has to be in there as well. Lucas Brown, you mentioned him earlier, him clicking the way he has. I think that has to be on the nominees. Big 12 tournament championship, first time you've done that in your head coaching career. I think that has to be a nominee. Or sneakily my leader in the clubhouse, Coach Burke, switching the doubles lineup and having it go as successfully as it has. Those are my five nominees. Might have missed one, but your thoughts on highlight of the season.
Well, those are good. I'd say the Big 12 championship and switching the doubles lineup, but those would make the final. Okay. And then I'd have to choose between those. And I think there's some connection between the two, perhaps. At least it's been a factor. I think that gave our team a big spark. That was one of the things that gave our team a big spark and got us a lot more confidence in our doubles point. And, you know, I think that had something to do with, you know, running the table in the Big 12. But if I had to choose, I'd say the championship, because I know that's what the guys before the year started wouldn't have told me that what they want most is for us to switch to a doubles lineup halfway through the season. You know, I think in their top two or three in the list definitely would have been, you know, getting those hats and t-shirts at the Big 12 tournament. So I was got to be happy for them to have done that.
I appreciate it. Listeners won't be able to see it. When I mentioned switching the doubles lineup, there was a look in Coach Burke's eyes. I was like, oh, you have been paying attention, Alex. And I was like, yeah, that's got to be on the list, because certainly there. Then in the unexpected development category, I'm going to move Micah's 31-match win streak there, because I think certainly that just to do that, you just don't see that very often in college tennis history. I have that as my first nominee. My number two nominee, and part of this was I was at Big 12s. I got to hang around the team and chat with all the guys. Did you think your best player on your roster would be on the bench this season in Timo Legu, and just having a guy in practice day in, day out? I mean, obviously I'm being facetious, but playing such exceptional tennis, you know, that's a nominee. And again, Lucas Brown finds himself in this category once more.
Yeah. No, those guys, I love our team. I know I'm not alone in being a coach who really feels great about their team and the players that they have and the culture that they have. But I really do. I've been doing this for, as you know, a long time, over 30 years. And the character and the togetherness and the unselfishness and the mutual support of this team rivals any that I've ever been a part of. And, you know, Lucas is incredible. He's quirky as they come. Man, what a great competitor. What a incredible attitude, both in the practice court and daily, you know, and the practice court and in matches too. He's just going to be, there's no doubt he's going to be a team leader and a really successful player. So his attitude is infectious. And Timo is also a terrific guy. He's in his first semester with the team, not having played a match. Obviously, he's a very good player and he's got the respect of his teammates, but he's also a really good leader and a lot of times another coach out there, you know. We're looking forward to having him actually play some matches next year.
Yeah. The other sneaky nominee in this category was that of all the guys sleeveless, Ishan Talluri clearly looks best. And I think that belongs in the unexpected development nominee category. Yeah. My next category in question for you, I call it coaching pet project. I don't think that's a fair description, but something you've been working on or something you've been stressing with your team that you certainly hope college tennis fans notice match in, match out. Maybe it's, you know, again, like the inside out forehand pattern of PY or just like something specific like that. What is something that has been a focus of yours this season that, dare I say, you've seen come to fruition?
So you're looking for a tennis specific thing.
Well, or it could be non-tennis too.
Okay. Well, if I had to pick one thing, I would say that I've been really trying to encourage our guys to use their closeness to their advantage more in dual matches. Aside from switching our doubles lineup halfway through. And again, I don't, you know, you could argue that we had a slow start. We lost a couple of close matches to really good teams. But yeah, it was a little bit disappointing that we lost those matches. But I think the two biggest things we changed were the doubles lineup and then also trying to do a better job of showcasing what we believe to be a really strong culture and togetherness when we play these matches and to connect with each other more and to respond to each other more. And so that would be probably my number one pick as far as, you know, things I'd like people to see when they're seeing us play these matches.
I feel like it has to help to have all the fifth years, the seniors, right? I mean, yeah. Look, you would never have to give that message to Cleve. He's going to be out there roaring. It's my favorite thing is hearing Cleve during a match and then going up to him and he's like, hey, Alex, how are you? And it's like, well, where's that guy been for the last 3 hours? And again, he's such a kind human being. But that part, as you prepare for this postseason run, how important do you think that's going to be? Because I feel like that's a category. It's not something that's tangible, maybe the fans who are listening to this show, but I do think that is going to be a critical piece with the talent all even, right?
Yeah, I think it's critical because it can really help individuals who are out on the court facing difficult moments get out of their own head. Mm-hmm. And remember that they're part of a team match. I think that's the biggest reason, because you know that whoever makes deep runs, it's not most likely they're not going to go through 4-0, you know, or 4-1 and play matches all the way through that they have complete control over. There's going to be some challenges and difficult moments. And I think when you can use each other to help keep yourself in your ideal performance state when you're facing difficult times, you know, that's going to be the things that are most important when the matches are truly on the line. So I do think, of course, we're working on all sorts of specific tennis skills and things that each guy needs in their game, but ultimately it's how we handle the big moments that's going to dictate, you know, whether these guys and any other team has a chance to reach their full potential.
When your alarm goes off in the morning on your phone, is it Texas fight, and you're like, all right, I'm up, let's get this day going? Because I feel
usually just my dog like pawing at me to wake up. That's my alarm. It usually get that alarm usually goes off before my real alarm goes off.
I love it. Well, then again, moving on to the next question here, and I gotta say, I think we're pacing ourselves well, Coach. I appreciate here on time number one. If you could go back to January, time machine exists, and for some reason it says, sorry, I can only take you back to January 1st, 2024. What advice might you give yourself about this season?
I think the biggest advice I would give myself just personally, it would be to really try to enjoy as many of these moments as you can and the daily, you know, the daily experience with this team because, and I have. You know, but I think, of course, we all get caught up in what we do. And I think that would be a real important message to give myself, because, like I said, and I don't know if I've done this for 30 years and haven't quite had a team like this before in terms of character and closeness and, ability to enjoy the experience with them. If it's taken me 30 years, I don't know that I'm going to stay in it for another 30 years to get the group like this. So you might as well have fun with it and make the most of it.
Yeah, fair enough. Again, you've come on this show many times. I'm always grateful for it. You've never sworn at me. This might be the question that gets you to do it. How does a moment like that Arizona match in February bring a group like this even further together?
They shared in their misery. We definitely, it's not like we overlooked Arizona. We know just like you do how good they are. They've got a lot of great players on the team. Their lineup goes deep all the way through and they're obviously super, super competitive, but we still didn't like it. It wasn't the experience we wanted at the indoors. But you know, they took their medicine and I think in a lot of ways followed the lead of some of the top guys like Elliot, who when he does get a loss, either individually or as a team, I mean, no one's more driven to fix whatever fell a little short where he or the team fell a little short. So, yeah, I don't know that they just kind of circled the wagons and said, okay, let's go. You know, it was frustrated. I think their pride may have been wounded a little bit because, they really always considered themselves to be one of the better teams, but we hadn't proven it yet. And they had to challenge each other to show that we had, you know, we had a chance to be the best team and not just to have, you know, one of the best rosters.
Yeah, no, my little brother was at that event, and we talk about it far too frequently over the course of this year because, again, that level, the energy there, I mean, it's what makes postseason play or national indoor play so exciting. And so certainly excited to see your group continue.
A lot of good teams, but you could also see right away the way they responded, not just throughout the rest of the year, because we played two pretty strong matches in our, against, you know, Michigan and South Carolina. I think we won 4-0 against both. And, you know, those are obviously two really good teams. And it was a good, you know, good bounce back response from them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, then let me ask you about your team with the premise that I know you'd be fine with anyone. Like, and let me just say, you in particular would be fine with anyone as I get into this question. NCAA final, 3-3, third set to decide everything. Truth serum has been spilled into your water this morning, Coach. Who do you want on the court?
Oh, man.
And again, with the premise
that
you'd be... Yeah, because you're fine with everyone. The premise is you're fine with everyone.
Okay.
But who's the one guy, like, again, bottom of your heart where you're like, you know what? If this is how we go down, fine.
Yeah. I'd have to put out Elliot.
Yeah. I think he's earned it, right? He's been one in the country for 2 years.
And he's done it many times, you know.
Yeah.
He's fallen short a few times, but he's... he's done it way more than he hasn't, and how could you not pick Elliot? But yeah, you'd have a lot of good 1B choices as well.
Yeah, I always say I've never seen Elliot lose in straights, which is honestly the most impressive thing in college tennis.
Yeah.
And again, to have a guy like that for 5 years, what has he meant to this program? What has he meant to you? Just again, he's been with you since you started as head, you know, again, I guess half a season before you were the interim, but as full-time head coach at Texas, that's been your guy.
I mean, he's great. You know, he's driven. He works hard. He cares about the team much more than he does about himself. Although he's, you know, he walks that line really well because he's also super driven to make his long-term goals. But while he's here, what really matters to him is giving his team the best chance to win matches and reach their full potential. So yeah, to me personally, you know, he made the choice to come back here, not for me, but I'll still take some pride in the fact that he did that because he must have felt that there was enough in this program that would be positive for him to want to be part of it for one more year. So that means a lot to me. When someone makes a commitment to join the team at Texas or to stay on the team at Texas, I do take that really personally, and I remember every promise that I make, and I can take a lot of pride in saying that I have and will continue to live up to anything I tell somebody that I'm going to do when they come here. But it did mean a lot to me that he chose to come back, and I tried to work really hard to make sure this turns out to be a positive decision for him. But, you know, Elliot's also in the business school, and Texas Business School, Macomb School of Business, is a top 5 business school in the country every year. Just like Michigan is. So he's going to get a business degree. He's made super great connections. He's had lifelong friends. His teammates will be his lifelong friends, and he'll have no regrets.
Yeah, no, I love to hear that. I always say, if my parents had friends, it's a joke I like to tell. If they had friends and they're like, so how are your kids doing? They'd be like, well, our oldest just finished Harvard Business School. Our youngest is about to finish undergrad at Wharton. But our middle loves tennis. And let's talk about him. That's how I assume their conversations would go. Again, that's a big hypothetical if they had friends. But all right, my last four for you here. Again, veer a little bit away from your team. But the NCAA tournament is coming up, and all you head coaches are the smartest minds we have in college tennis. So I'm curious for your thoughts. You could pick anything, team, coach, player from across the country, not on your Texas roster, that's impressed you the most from this 2024 season. What comes to mind?
Oh boy, that's a good question. Some people I haven't really seen that much, but I've seen like in small doses and then seen the results that they've had. And that's been really impressive to see. I mean, that Ollie Tarvit.
Yeah.
I mean, he played Micah in the All-American. I think it was the All-American, yeah. And the guy was so tough, such a good player. And Micah had to really, really play well to to get through that match. And then, you know, to see his, to see what his game is like, and his game is really good, but he makes you work and he fights. And then to see the kind of season he's had and the kind of season San Diego has had. I know they just came up short to the A&M, but I think they should feel really proud of the, you know, the effort they've had and the season that they've put in at San Diego.
Yeah, no, I mean, certainly one of the breakout stars, the sophomore guy we will be talking about moving forward in college tennis. Favorite Sweet 16 matchup that isn't your own?
Well, you know what? I haven't really been paying attention too much, believe it or not. I've been locked in on our own. But
I like it.
Got, let's run through. I know you have Ohio State, Mississippi State, right?
Yes, you've got Columbia, Arizona is the 8-9. Duke, uh-huh. TCU, teams that can do similar things. I like that one. Who's the 4-5? Kentucky. Kentucky plays Harvard. So that's your left side of the draw. It's got you versus A&M, Tennessee versus Florida State, Stanford versus Wake Forest, and then Virginia versus South Carolina.
Yeah, I like that.
Top of the head, by the way, there.
What's that? Yeah, no, that's pretty good. Yeah. I think what you said, Tennessee is playing
Florida State.
Florida State, I like that one. I'm gonna call that one because we got a coach Sudama Sitaram, assistant coach at Florida State, and he was with us last year as our third coach, and they've done a really good job this year to come on and win that ACC title. So that I think that'll be an interesting one.
I
don't know if I want him to see Sudama going up against his alma mater, but. That could be interesting. We've got some work to do first, but that could be a real good match.
I was gonna say exactly. I wonder who.
Even though I haven't seen either of those teams play yet,
I'd like to see it. Winner of that one faces. Oh yeah, the winner of Texas A&M. But no, I mean, look, top five singles battle at the number one spot: Joe Munday versus Antoine Cornet-Chauvin. So certainly something for everyone to get excited about. Is there a national championship favorite right now?
I don't know how you could really I think you've got a group of teams that are probably most people would consider to have the best chance, but I don't think there's an overwhelming favorite by any stretch. Yeah. Like,
no, I think that's fair. I think there's a group, like I think for both the men and the women, there's a group of teams that have separated themselves. For what it's worth, I think you're amongst them on the men's side. But Virginia's the two-time defending champ. Ohio State has as many fifth years, maybe even more, than you do. TCU, if they're fully healthy, they were up 3-2 on Ohio State in that national indoor final. Kentucky hasn't lost since February 1996. Like, there are a lot of really good teams, I agree, that I think you can make the case for. I'm excited. I do think, again, though, look, Texas is up there on that list. That's what I will say to you. My last two questions for you. Trivia that I'm going to ask every coach. Can you name the last undefeated men's and women's NCAA Division I champions? Because right now, Oklahoma State, 29-0, pretty exciting for our sport. Can you name the last two undefeated champions, Coach Burke?
I know much more about the men's side.
Yeah.
So on the men's side, I mean, I'm going to say it was either our team at Illinois or it was one of the Virginia teams. Did Virginia do it?
Virginia did it one of the years.
Okay.
The question is, can you figure out which one?
No.
It's okay, but
I
good
can barely
guess by
remember
you.
What I had for breakfast this morning.
2013 Virginia. Jenkins' senior year when he almost triple crowned and lost in the final to Rolla of singles.
And what about before that? Was it Illinois?
Before that, it was you guys.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, which, of course, that Illinois 2004 team, you were the associate head coach of, for those that have forgotten.
2003.
Three, excuse me. 2003.
Well, 2003 was the year we were undefeated. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then on the women's side?
This one's been a little bit.
Jeez. I won't be able to tell you the year. I'll just guess it was Stanford or Florida.
That's the right guess. Stanford 2006, the last undefeated women's team. So, again, it's been more than a decade, though, since we've seen an undefeated champion. Certainly fun thing for college tennis.
I got a trivia question for you.
All right, I'm ready.
On the women's side.
Uh-oh.
Name, there may be more, but I know of one. Name me a player who won national team titles on two different teams, I believe in two consecutive years.
Two different teams in two consecutive years. You got me.
I think it was two consecutive years.
So I spent all of yesterday, I'm interviewing her later, but I was calling the Miami match. So I was looking in their record book. Do you know Stella played Ronnie in the doubles final. I think like at the 87 or 88. I apologize for saying the year. I'm going to get yelled at by them. But that they played in the doubles final. And I was like, how have you not told me about this? She's like, Alex, I was really good at tennis. I was like, yeah, I know Ronnie. But
and who was Ronnie's coach at University of Miami then? I got you another one. I'm turning the tables.
Yeah. Oh, no, this isn't good. I almost made a joke and said Paige, but I was just be kidding. I have no idea.
No idea. Ian Duvenhage.
Ian? Really? He was there before he was at Vandy?
Well, he was at Florida. I coached with him. I was his assistant at Florida.
Really?
On the men's side for 6 years. And then...
were you Ty's assistant? You were there before him at Ohio State, right?
Well, no. I was at Florida with Ian for 6 years. And then I did some traveling work with Mark Merklin in the USTA and some other players. And then I went... Where'd I go next? Then I went to Ohio State, but I was just volunteering a little bit. I wasn't doing much with them. Ty was the assistant then. And then I went to Illinois and then Michigan. Yeah. But before Florida, Ian Duvenhage was the head coach at Miami for the women's side. And Ronnie.
Wow.
Yeah. And there was a little connection with Ronnie coming to Michigan, and Ian and the common connection there. But so back to my other question.
Yeah. Is it 21st century?
I'll give you the two teams, 21st century. 21st century, no.
You say I'm in trouble. I got nothing for you.
20th century. I'll give you the two teams.
Okay.
Stanford and Florida. You still won't get it.
Could have probably guessed that. I'm going to guess Patty something.
No.
Yeah.
Jill Kravis.
Oh, duh. You know what? I should have been able to guess. I didn't realize she left Florida. I knew about the Florida Joker.
She left Texas.
I didn't know that either.
Oh, no, wait. Oh, you know what? I screwed it up. It was Texas. No, it wasn't Stanford. It was Texas.
Yeah.
She was at Texas, and she left Texas to go to Florida. That's what it was.
And Texas and I don't won know 95, 96 women's titles, I want to say.
Yeah, somewhere around that time. I don't know if it was successive years or not, but anyway, you asked better questions. I'd like to give you a taste of your own medicine.
I loved it. First of all, it was consecutive years, and the reason I know that is because when Texas won consecutive years 21-22. It was their third and fourth program titles. And of course, when Texas women win, you learn they win in pairs because that's what happened the first time as well. And so, again, history lessons for everyone here at the end of Press Row. And I appreciate you flipping it on me, Coach Burke. My last question for you, just talk me through this weekend matchup against A&M. What's it going to take for you guys to advance?
I think similar stuff to what we've shown most of the year and definitely this last weekend. I think we're going to have to be ready to play with a lot of enthusiasm, try to play our best doubles that we can, because I know there's some good doubles players and teams for Texas A&M. We're going to have to come out firing and like not trust everybody and have confidence in each other, but also not scoreboard watch. We've learned that lesson a few times this year. Without having it bite us in the butt. But I thought I just love the fact that everyone's playing super hard. Elliot was actually down after losing the first set to Govind, and it appeared that we were in control of the matches, and he was playing every point as hard as he could, and that was his focus. And I think that's the kind of mentality that it'll take again. This match and any other match we might be fortunate enough to play is to be locked in and competing and playing as a team the way they would want this team to be remembered.
Yeah, I love to hear it. Well, again, Coach Burke, I sincerely appreciate you taking the time to join me this morning. And let me just say, I'm going to keep all the questions. Like, you made them all work, I guess. This show can only be as good as the guest. And certainly you were fantastic here this morning. And certainly your team has been a delight to watch. And, you know, I appreciate your kindness, their kindness towards me at Big 12s. And, you know, again, I'm not going to jinx anything, but I know there you have individuals in Stillwater, so at a minimum, I will see you there for that individual event, and certainly appreciate you taking the time to chat.
For sure. Thanks, and as everyone else says to you, thanks for everything you do to promote college tennis.
I appreciate it, Coach. Have a nice day.
All right. See you.